Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's Ultimate Fighter 24 finale event, which takes place in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're unfamiliar with our format, myself and Nick will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we went 3-1 on our premium bets for UFC Fight Night 101 to profit 5.8 units overall. We also won our one-unit free bet on Robert Whittaker at plus 125 odds. Back to the present, the Ultimate Fighter 24 finale features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass and Fox Sports 1 this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking off the preliminary card on Fight Pass is a light heavyweight contest between Joshua Stansberry, who's 8-3, and Devin Clark, who is 6-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up at Stansberry, minus 135, the comeback on Clark at minus 105. Right now, looking over at our sponsored sportsbook, 5dimes.eu, it is currently Stansberry minus 115, Clark at minus 105. So line margins have tightened up, and there is two-way action coming out of this fight. Nothing too crazy, because it's kind of a difficult matchup. Of course, Stansberry, the Ultimate Fighter vet, he actually proved to be a pretty solid fighter overall on the show. I think he gained respect from a lot of folks there, even though he didn't win the show. He bounced back, of course, in the Ultimate Fighter finale and got a decent win over Hendricks. So Stansberry at light heavyweight definitely belongs in the mix. And I mean, I don't think he's going to make a title run anytime soon, but he's definitely a solid fighter. I mean, he's been on the scene for a while, an experienced vet. If you look at his amateur career, I mean, the guy's even fought the likes of Stipe Miocic. So the guy has solid experience, and he's just a very all around decent fighter. That being said, Clark, on the other hand, again, another guy that's been coming, up in the ranks a little bit. He's got some hype behind him from the Access TV, some of the Access TV shows. He was actually the RFA light heavyweight, champion, at one point before he made his UFC debut. So there was a little buzz around Clark coming into the UFC. And then unfortunately for him, it didn't work out too well against Nicholson. He was looking okay in that fight until he got caught and got finished by Nicholson. So I think his stock dropped a little bit in most people's minds. But again, that fight was actually at 185 pounds, and now he's going back to where I think he's a little bit more comfortable with. I mean, again, he was RFA champion at light heavyweight, so he's back to light heavyweight. So this isn't going to be a huge step up as far as, you know, size wise for Clark. He's used to fighting some of these bigger guys as well. So I think he's going to be right at home at 205. As far as skill set goes, I mean, both these guys are fairly well rounded. I think I like what I see with Clark a little bit better. I think Clark has more knockout power on the feet. I think Clark might be the better wrestler overall here on the ground as well. So I think anywhere the fight takes place, Clark is going to basically edge Stansberry out. Now, of course, Clark coming off that knockout loss to the likes of Nicholson is a little bit of a concern. So I mean, that's always going to be in the back of our minds. But at the same time, I think that Stansberry does have some knockout power, but I don't think he's going to be the type that actually threatens Clark too much in this spot here. So I really think it's going to be a competitive back and forth fight, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards Clark to get the job done here. I think he's just going to be a little bit more impressive, and I just have a little bit more confidence in his overall game right now. And I think he's got more upside as far as the light heavyweight division goes as well. And we could even see him drop back down maybe at one point to middleweight. So I just think he's going to get better. He's still young, only 26 years old. And we haven't seen the best of Clark yet. So I'm going to pick him to win this fight and get back on track.
Yeah, if you go back and watch both of these guys' UFC debuts, you'd be surprised to think that Stansberry would be favored here. Stansberry looked slow and sluggish in his fight against Corey Hendricks, and he really only won it because Hendricks gassed, and then Hendricks repeatedly pulled guard after failed takedown attempts in the second and third rounds. For the most part, Stansberry's just a mildly well-rounded fighter with a decent jab, but he's a little slow, and he does have a little bit of wrestling and a decent top control game when he does get top position, but I don't expect him to get top position against Devin Clark. Devin Clark's scouting report, I mean, the guy has good power in both hands, a good strong jab. He has solid overall wrestling, good top control when he does get it. And then Clark was dominating his UFC debut against Alex Nicholson, but then he got caught right at the end of the first round and put out. So my only concern with Clark is potentially conditioning and potentially his chin. Now, Stansbury does have some power, but he's not very fast, so I'm not quite convinced that he'll have the speed to catch Clark on the chin with a good shot. So, barring Stansbury landing that big shot out of nowhere, I think this is definitely Devin Clark's fight to win, whether it's with top control wrestling or just with superior striking, speed, and power. So I think even though Devin Clark's moving up a weight class here, I think he's going to be in really good shape. So my pick's going to be Devin Clark. Now, dropping down to the middleweight division, we have Elvis Mutapcic, who is 15-4-1, taking on Anthony Smith, who is 25-12. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Smith, minus 135, the comeback on Mutapcic at minus 105. Right now, looking over five dimes. The line holding steady, minus 120 for Smith. Mutapcic is even money. So again, another spot where the line basically stay the same. Line margins have tightened up a little bit. Two-way action coming in this fight. Nothing significant. And another tough spot. I mean, what we've learned so far from Smith throughout his career is another guy that's very tough out. I mean, he's got some length. He's got some size on him that really he puts to his advantage. I mean, according to matchups that he has with a lot of fighters. And he utilizes that well. Now, of course, he's got some wrestling to go along with some decent striking with that length. So I think Smith is just a very difficult out for people to handle because if you stay up with him on the feet, he usually has a reach and the striking ability. I mean, a diverse striking game that he's kind of makes life tough on you on the feet. And at the same time, on the ground, he's capable of putting you on your back, capable of out grappling you on the floor as well and just kind of grinding you out. So Smith is dangerous on the feet. He can grind you out and win on the scorecards a lot of times as well. So he's a pretty complete fighter. But defensively, there are some concerns. And, of course, cardio is a concern with Smith as well. We all have known that. He's been knocked out six times. That chin is definitely a concern. So there's some flaws in Smith's game for sure. But he is always a difficult out. Mutapcic, on the other hand, he's another one of these guys that's kind of been floating under the radar in most people's minds. I know he's been around the sport for a while, so a lot of the MMA diehard fans really do know what this guy's about, and he's been a very solid fighter. I mean, his best attribute is striking game. I mean, he's got a lot of power in the feet, another diverse striker for sure. He's got a very solid chin. The kryptonite for Mutapcic throughout his career has been wrestlers, really good wrestlers that have been able to pick him, take him on his back, put him there, control him a little bit, and give him fits there. I mean, that's what's got him beat really more than anything else. Smith is kind of that fighter, but I think at the same time, Mutapcic is starting to get a little bit better with his takedown defense. Of course, this fight is at 185 pounds again, so this is the more natural weight class for him as well. So I think even though there is a size difference with Smith, I don't think Mutapcic is going to get bullied quite as much as he can against some of the bigger guys in the past. So I think this is actually a pretty good fight because what's going to happen here, I think round one might be a little bit difficult for Mutapcic, but as he gets in round two and round three, if it does go that long, I think he's going to start taking over. And again, he is a better striker. He can actually knock Smith out at any point throughout the fight, but he can also outpoint Smith in round two and round three and probably win on the scorecards if needed. So you basically have a striker versus – I don't want to say Smith is a wrestler, but that's kind of the matchup here. Smith is going to have to use his wrestling control Mutapcic to win this fight, I think. And Mutapcic is going to have to kind of sprawl and brawl and try to knock Smith out to win the fight. So that's kind of what the matchup is here. And I'm going to lean towards Mutapcic. I think that I trust him a little bit more. He's more of a solid fighter. His cardio is better. I think he can win late or again, even on the scorecards, make it close. So I'm going to go with the underdog Mutapcic in this spot.
Mutapcic's kryptonite throughout his career has kind of been guys that can take him down and keep him down or guys that push a really, really high pace that he can't keep up with because he does tend to sit back and pick his moments a little bit on the feet. Now, against Anthony Smith, I think there is a little bit of a threat of that happening. I mean, Smith does have a decent ground game, but it's more offensive in regards to going for submissions and things. He doesn't have an amazing takedown game, and that's where Mutapcic should have the advantage. If Smith can't take Mutapcic down, this turns into a three-round striking battle. And I think while Smith can hold his own early, he's going to start to slow down. Conditioning is not one of Smith's strengths. He slows down in all of his fights, especially his last one where he just got dominated by Mutanch. But even in his UFC return against Laleko, he started strong and then got dominated in the third round. So I can see Smith winning the first round, but then Mutafsic coming on strong, maybe winning the second and then putting Smith away in the third, or just having a monster third round to win the fight. So I think this definitely is Elvis Mutafsic's fight to lose. He finally picks up that first UFC win after getting a draw at light heavyweight and then after losing at light heavyweight and then getting a draw in his last bout. So I do like Elvis Mutafsic here. Now moving on to the first fight on the Fox Sports 1 prelims, we have a women's strawweight contest between Kaylin Curran, who is 4-3, and Jamie Moyle, who is 3-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Curran -170, the comeback on Moyle at +130. Right now, looking over 5 dimes, it is currently Curran -150, Moyle still at that +130. So line margins have tightened up. Not a ton of action coming into this fight at all. I think people are kind of wanting to leave it alone for the most part. Curran, obviously the more popular fighter, the more hype fighter. I mean, she's has the skill set to be really good. I mean, she's still young, only 25 years old as well. She's got that aggressiveness, the killer instinct that you like to see in a fighter as well. She just has to develop her game, I think, a little bit better. I mean, right now, offensively, she's pretty good. Her stand-up game, her clinch work, her even wrestling, her groundwork is decent offensively, but defensively is where the concern is. I mean, she tends to slow down a little bit as the fight goes. So her cardio is even spotty and is a little bit of a question mark in my opinion. And then on the ground, again, offensively, she's okay, but defensively, I mean, she really needs to address some holes in her game. And I think that that's a problem against superior grapplers or better fighters. In a case like this, I think Moyle is that, honestly. Moyle's going to give Curran a lot of fits. So Curran is the type of fighter, if she's getting better fight by fight, it's tough to gauge where she's at, really, because I think, obviously, she lost to Herrick on the ground. It wasn't really a surprise to Brian or I. I think we both picked her actually better as well. Herrick, that is, against Curran in that fight. Because of her, I think, her ground game and her ground deficiencies a little bit, Herrick actually excelled in that area over Curran. So the matchup was good there. And I think Moyle's going to present a lot of the same problems. Moyle just doesn't have that kind of respect, you know, or that hype around her that Curran does. So, but getting into the matchup here, of course, I just basically mentioned what Curran was about. But as far as Moyle, she's a very complete fighter. She's well-rounded. If you look past her Ultimate Fighter resume, she's actually had some pretty decent fights now throughout her career against decent competition as well, including Invicta. So Moyle is a pretty complete fighter. And again, on the Ultimate Fighter show, she lost to Amanda Cooper by majority decision. It was a very competitive decision. I think it should have went 3 rounds, honestly, in that spot. But the judges obviously didn't think so, and they awarded Cooper the fight. But even early on, I think Cooper is a very tough out. Moyle won the first round, and then she was winning early in round two. Cooper managed to change the tide in that round and took it over. But still, I mean, Moyle showed a lot in that fight. And then if you look past – beyond those fights again, look back and see what Moyle's about – on the feet, she's pretty solid. She has decent boxing. She has aggressive stand-up game as well, but she does go for takedowns, looks to control the ground, and looks for subs on the ground. So that's the type of fighter she is. She's a pretty smart fighter. Defensively, she's pretty sound as well. She's not going to let, I guess, her fight IQ, I should say, is a little bit better than Curran, and that's what I like as well. She's not going to maybe make the same amount of mistakes Curran would on the ground either. So I just think she's a little bit more complete, a little bit more solid. So I think it is going to be competitive, especially maybe early on, but I think Moyle eventually starts taking over. And again, maybe winning round two, round three, or even at some point, I believe that Moyle gets Curran to the ground, takes her back, and probably ends it by sub. So I think Moyle by submission or Moyle on the cards is probably the way she wins this fight. So I'm going to go with your slight underdog here and pick Moyle to win and pull off a small upset over a popular fighter in Curran.
And I was actually a dummy in Curran's last fight. I actually picked her to beat Felice Herrick, and I was way wrong. Like, she got embarrassed in that fight. And the reason that Curran loses fights is because she's sloppy and her defense leaves holes, especially against good grapplers like Felice Herrig, a veteran that just pounced on an opening and took her out. Now, another problem that Curran has is conditioning. She can start strong in fights, but she does not finish well. I mean, you saw that in the Paige Van Zandt fight where she held her own in the first round, even got some takedowns on Paige, and they had some really competitive grappling moments, and then Paige just wore her out. So against Moyle here, I think Curran needs to take Moyle out as quickly as possible, because if she doesn't, Moyle pushes a high pace. She's scrappy. She's tough. She had a very competitive fight against Amanda Bobby Cooper on The Ultimate Fighter. She's had some tough scraps already in Invicta. So don't underestimate Moyle, even though she only has a 3-1 professional record. She has some good experience already, probably just as much experience, if not more so, than Curran against top competition. So I actually think that Jamie Moyle, as long as she does not get dominated on the ground early, then she has a really good chance of turning this around and then beating up Curran on the feet and winning a decision. So, and then the longer this fight goes, the more it favors Moyle, because I think her conditioning will not have any issues in this fight. So, I complete agreement with Nick. I think, Jamie Moyle pulls off the upset here. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Donghyung Maestro Kim, who is 13-8-3, taking on Brandon O'Reilly, who is 6-2 with one no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
Up in O'Reilly, -140, the comeback on Kim at even money. Then this line did flip a little bit. It's still near pick'em right now. It's Kim -125. O'Reilly is at +105. Not that surprised. O'Reilly just doesn't get that, you know, he doesn't have that fan friendly, I guess, way about him. I mean, a lot of the fans just think he's okay. They don't really get behind him as far as popularity goes. So I think that keeps him under the radar as far as skill set goes. Cause realistically, he's a pretty solid fighter. I mean, there's no doubt he's pretty good everywhere. He's just not going to blow you away in the stand up game. He's not going to blow you away with his wrestling. So he's just a pretty solid fighter. Now, Kim, on the other hand, obviously a lot of people are more behind him because of the way he fights. He's aggressive. I mean, he goes for the kill, especially on the feet. Obviously that's where he does the most damage. He's got some power, got some finishing ability for sure on the feet. So Kim is a very dangerous fighter, but he makes mistakes. We were just talking about Curran making mistakes along the way. And that's what bothers me with Kim here in this spot. Like the last fight that we were just talking about with the females, I think this is similar. I think O'Reilly's just a more steady, consistent fighter, less holes in his game overall. He's going to probably have to weather an early storm in this fight against Kim. Kim is definitely going to bring it, especially in round one, I think. But if he doesn't get O'Reilly out of there, I think O'Reilly ends up taking this fight over and possibly grinding Kim out and getting a competitive type of decision over Kim, or even maybe finishing him late as the fight goes as well. So I think Kim is going to be ultra dangerous, especially since O'Reilly is coming off of a defeat. I mean, obviously he fought a different type of fighter. I mean, we're talking about punching power with the likes of Joban and punching power with the likes of Kim. So, I mean, I can understand Joban, again, a little bit bigger than Kim is, obviously has some power. So I don't like the fact that O'Reilly coming off a knockout loss, but, and he's fighting a guy that can knock him out here, but I still think I trust O'Reilly a little bit more in this spot. I still think that Kim has more holes in his game, where I think O'Reilly probably doesn't get knocked out in this spot and probably, again, finds a way to win either late or on the scorecard. So for me, I think O'Reilly is being a little bit underrated here in this spot, and I think that he's probably going to come away with a win, so I'm going to go with him as an underdog here. So my pick is O'Reilly to defeat Kim.
Yeah, the biggest thing happening in this fight is the fact that O'Reilly is finally dropping down to the lightweight division. I've been asking him to drop down since his UFC debut, even during his UFC debut. I was like, why is this guy fighting at welterweight? He is so undersized. And he did manage to pick up a win in the welterweight division somehow, but I think that that loss against Joban finally, you know, the knockout knocked some sense into him, I think. So now he's dropping down to the lightweight division, where he will be significantly more competitive. And Maestro Kim is definitely a fighter that he can beat. Kim is extremely aggressive, very reckless at times, pushes a high pace, throws a lot of strikes on the feet. And I don't know if O'Reilly can keep up with Kim in the stand-up department. I mean, Kim's last fight was just an absolute barn burner. And he ended up just coming up short a little bit in that one. But I mean, it was extremely entertaining against Marco Polo Reyes. So this time around, I expect Kim to get a little bit of the better of the feet exchanges against O'Reilly, but Kim does have some trouble on the ground, and O'Reilly should have a wrestling edge. And now, after fighting all these welterweights, I think O'Reilly dropping down to lightweight, he should notice a big difference in size and strength of his opponents. So I can see O'Reilly bullying Kim a little bit on the ground, maybe get some takedowns, get some top control. And as you saw in Kim's UFC debut, which was actually also against a welterweight out of his weight class, he got slammed to the canvas and knocked out cold. So I think O'Reilly could just dominate Kim on the ground and maybe TKO him on the canvas at some point. So I'm going to side with Brendan O'Reilly as well. Now, dropping down to the bantamweight division, we have Rob Font, who is 12-2, taking on Matt Schnell, who is 9-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Font, minus 210, the comeback on Schnell at plus 160. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it's Font minus 250, Schnell is plus 210. So there has been some action coming in on Font. A lot of people are throwing him in parlays as well. Schnell coming in, short notice. Font actually does have a little bit of respect out there. I know that his fight against Lineker, I expect a little bit better from him. So to me, it brought his stock down, to be honest with you. But I guess a lot of people expected him to, I mean, Lineker to kind of walk through him at that spot, because Lineker, with the hype train and the way he's been fighting recently, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He'll do that to a lot of people. So it's not a bad loss for Font either. It's just, I was expecting Font to be a little bit more aggressive in that fight. But that being said, Lineker is just a beast. Now, this is a different stylistic matchup for Schnell. So I think people realize that, and that's why they're not as concerned with Font, and that's why they're coming in that way. But Schnell is a pretty good fighter too. I mean, there's no doubt he's a very complete, well-rounded fighter. I think the best attribute for Schnell is definitely on the ground. His submission game is top-notch. He's got some wrestling to go along with it as well. Just very smooth and technical on the ground. It's just tricky to deal with. So that's his best attribute, especially over a guy like Font. On the feet, though, Schnell's not bad. I mean, he's going to be able to land his. I mean, again, a diverse striking attack that he does throw at you a little bit. He's got a little bit of pop in his punches and his kicks. So he's not exactly going to get dominated against most opponents on the feet either, but Schnell is probably the more complete, well-rounded fighter over Font. But stylistically, how they match up here, Font has decent enough takedown defense in most cases to be able to sprawl and brawl here, and he has the more power, you know, more powerful punches on the feet, heavier hitter type of situation here. So Font should win the stand-up exchanges, and he should be able to keep off his back. If not, it's going to get interesting here. So this is one play that I would suggest, and I'm a big Font fan for sure. So I realize this guy is pretty good, and it has been typically underrated at times. But in this spotting against Schnell, he's facing another guy that I think is pretty decent and flies, again, under the radar, and I think can definitely test Font and be a challenge, even though it is a short notice type of fight. Again, Schnell has had experience outside of the UFC. He's been on the legacy fighting scene for a while. He's also a Tough 24 vet. I forgot to mention he was just on this recent, season of Tough. He lost to Elliot by sub in the quarterfinals. So he lost to the guy that won it all either. So it's not necessarily a bad loss there either. So I think both these guys are going to be competitive. I think it is going to be a very entertaining fight, but I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Font because, again, I think he can probably sprawl and brawl, keep the fight upright, and probably outpoint or even possibly finish Schnell on the feet as it goes.
Schnell is definitely a good fighter, but I think this is a tough situation for him. Rob Font was supposed to be facing Alejandro Perez at this event, but Perez dropped out due to injury. Schnell steps in on super short notice, moves up a weight class. Schnell was a competitor on the Ultimate Fighter Season 24, and he is a talented fighter, but I think he's a talented fighter at flyweight. This isn't a situation like John Lineker moving up a weight class because he was a really big and powerful guy that couldn't make weight and bullying Rob Font. I don't think Matt Schnell can bully Rob Font. Schnell does have a good, well-rounded skill set. He can hold his own on the feet against most flyweights. I don't know if he can hold his own on the feet against Rob Font. And his takedown game is pretty solid, but again, I don't know if he can take down Rob Font or keep him down if he does. So, for the most part, I just think Rob Font should have a size and strength advantage here in the bantamweight division. And then, as Nick mentioned, he can just sprawl and brawl his way to victory. Schnell is taking this fight on super short notice, so I just don't think he has the time and preparation to handle a good, solid, strong bantamweight like Rob Font. So I think Schnell might be able to hold on to a decision, but Font either wins a decision or a TKO at some point, so he's going to be my pick. Now, moving up to the featherweight division, we have Gray Maynard, who is 13-6-1 with one no contest, taking on Ryan Hall, who is 5-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I've been Hall minus 140, the comeback on Maynard, at even money right now. Line flipped, but it's staying close to a pick 'em again. Minus 115 for Maynard. The comeback on Hall is minus 105. So a little bit more action coming in Maynard's way. And what I've heard so far from most people is stylistically, this is a pretty good matchup because Hall, has no KO power, basically, and Maynard's a good wrestler, grappler, that he should be able to control that department against Hall on the ground. So he should be able to cruise to a win here. I don't think it's going to be that easy. I'm surprised, actually, what people are saying here. I know Maynard looked really good. I mean, dropping down to 145 pounds, we weren't sure what was going to happen because, of course, a lightweight Maynard did not look great for a long time now. So at 145, honestly thought his chin would be a little bit more, you know, I mean, it's susceptible to getting KO'd, and he's been getting clipped and knocked out at lightweight. So didn't think this was going to help. But I'll tell you what, even though Bruno doesn't get a ton of respect out there as being a heavy hitter, he was throwing bombs at Maynard and landing a few of them, and Maynard's chin held up. So I got to give him credit. That was a nice way to start off your career at 145 for Maynard. Definitely gives him some confidence back, gets him on track. And if he can win against a guy like Hall, it definitely keeps him, you know, his career going a little bit longer. So big win for Maynard to save kind of everything that he's been working for all these years and, you know, to stay relevant, I guess, in the 145 pound division. But that changes here against Hall because Hall, stylistically, he's a tough matchup, I think, for Maynard because Hall is so good on the ground. He's just not your typical grappler. He's an elite level grappler. I mean, the guy has unorthodox submissions. Obviously, he goes after legs a lot. I mean, he's a specialist in that area as well. But take the ground out of the equation for a second. I mean, sure, Hall against very good strikers is going to get outstruck, maybe even clipped and knocked out. I understand that a little bit too. But Hall's striking is not necessarily, you know, as far as being a grappler, I mean, it's there. He has some striking. It's not exactly nothing. I mean, he does have something there. He's got a little bit of pop in his punches and kicks as well. So I think this is kind of going to be a little bit of an interesting aspect of a fight. If it does stay standing, I don't think Maynard's going to run over him on the feet. I think Hall's still going to be dangerous. And I still, even though he was able to absorb some of those Bruno punches, I think I don't trust it all the way. I think Hall could even land on that chin and make life interesting for Maynard. And even on the ground, what happens here, sure, Maynard might get it to the floor, might be able to control a little bit, but Hall eventually scrambles out, transitions to his back or some area there, and he can even stall like he did in his last matchup in the UFC. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Hall just makes this kind of a boring fight like he did. He's going to obviously be going after submissions, but even if he doesn't, I still think he could control enough of the grappling on the ground that he wins on the scorecards as well. So I think this is a dangerous fight for Maynard as well. And I think that Hall is a type of fighter that can get a marquee win on his resume here with a guy like Maynard. So there's more upside, I think, right now to Hall, even though he's not a young gun. He's 31 years old, but still in MMA years, he is still fairly young. And I think that, you know, he could prove right here that, look, I got a solid win over a vet that's been, you know, in the sport for a while on the top level in the lightweight division and whatnot. This is, again, would be one of his most notable wins. So I think Hall can win. I think Hall could possibly knock Maynard out. I think Hall can submit Maynard. And if he hits the scorecards, I know it'll be close, but I think Hall could win it there as well. So I'm going against the grain. I think the Hall right now is just the better fighter of the two. So we'll see what happens. If Maynard pulls this off, then that might change my tone for the next fight, but we'll see where it goes. But for right now, I'm seriously going to pick Hall to pull off the slight upset win over Maynard.
On paper, this should be an easy win for Gray Maynard, but Gray Maynard is a different fighter than he was a few years ago. I mean, yeah, at one point he was potentially the best lightweight on the planet. I mean, during that little run where him and Frankie Edgar had some of those just unforgettable fights. But now that Maynard's this late in his career, he has not looked good. He had that awful run in lightweight where he was just getting smashed time after time after time. His chin has started to go really bad, and there's just not a whole lot that he can rely on other than pure wrestling. And you know, he really can't hold his own on the feet against most people just because of the fact that he can get clipped. But he did win the last fight against Bruno, won a unanimous decision. But I mean, Bruno wasn't exactly a world beater. I mean, they dropped him down to the featherweight division and gave him a gimme just to see if he still had anything left whatsoever. And he did. He pulled off the win. But, against Ryan Hall, I think Gray Maynard might get a little bit more than he can handle. Hall is such an incredibly accomplished grappler that even though Maynard is a tremendous wrestler and has great top control, I think Hall is going to give him some fits. You got to remember, we haven't seen Ryan Hall fight in a year now. So he has been out there improving steadily. He's been doing a lot of training with Conor McGregor, working on his stand-up, working on the other parts of his game. So I think Hall can hold his own against Maynard on the feet. Just, however long it lasts there. And if Maynard does go for takedowns, I can see Hull really being crafty on the canvas. I don't expect Maynard to just be able to blanket him with his wrestling like he's been able to do against some top guys in the lightweight division in the past. Hull has a really nasty leg lock game that he could use just for sweeps if he wants. He has that 50-50 guard that he basically created and made famous in jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of things that Hall can do. He's so flexible and quick and dynamic and really, really crafty and original on the ground that maybe he can throw things at Maynard that Maynard hasn't even seen before, even though Maynard's been around so long. So I think if this fight goes to the ground, then Ryan Hall is going to make Gray Maynard's life a living hell. And I expect it to go to the ground because that's what Gray Maynard knows. I don't think Maynard wants to stand and bang for 15 minutes, although that might be his best strategy to win. But, I think Ryan Hall can pull this off as well. It's more me thinking that Hall has improved drastically in the year we haven't seen him and the fact that I think Gray Maynard is definitely on the outs. So, my pick is going to be Ryan Hall. Now, moving on to the first fight on the main card for Fox Sports 1, we have a flyweight contest between Brandon Moreno, who is 12-3, and Ryan Benoit, who is 9-4. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Moreno minus 175, the comeback on Benoit at plus 135, right now over 5 times. It did drop a little bit. It's currently priced at Moreno minus 125, Benoit at plus 105. So it did drop a little bit. More people are coming in on Benoit. More respect for Benoit. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, I know Moreno, a lot of people probably think his win over Smoke is a fluke. Man, if you look at the guy's skill set, it's not really that flukish. I mean, the guy is a tremendous grappler. He gets that choke around most people. They're not getting out of it. So I think it's just a little bit of disrespect going to Moreno right now. I understand Smoke is a beast on the ground. I mean, he's one of the best grapplers at 125 pounds. I get it. And if that fight plays out again, I mean, it could definitely end up a little different. But Benoit is not Smoke on the ground here, okay? Now, on top of it all, if you look back at Moreno in this past season of The Ultimate Fighter, I mean, he was the number 16 seed. Obviously, they got the seeds wrong because Moreno is above and beyond that. But difficult to, you know, match all these guys up or whatnot. He fought against the number one seed, and he actually did really well. I mean, I understand he ended up losing that fight. And obviously got put off the show. But at the same time, I mean, how he performed against the number one seed was really respectable. I mean, you could see Moreno has more than just grappling on his resume. I mean, the guy is an outstanding striker. And I'm saying outstanding, I guess that maybe that's a little bit far-fetched, but he's a very solid striker. He's got power on the feet. The guy's aggressive. He's got good accuracy. He's going to be developing his game. He's only 22 years old. So fight by fight, this guy's going to get better. And coming into the UFC and submitting a guy like Smoke on your debut that you're a big underdog against, supposed to get smashed against, that's only going to boost your confidence, especially how he performed again on the Ultimate Fighter show, despite the loss, and then coming into his UFC debut on short notice and performing like he did. I think Moreno is a very talented fighter. Now, of course, Benoit is also a very talented fighter in his own right, but I still think there's more issues with Benoit as far as consistency goes. I think that obviously he's got a good stand-up game. He's a very talented striker, powerful striker. I mean, if you look back at the Sergio Pettis fight, for example, he was getting beat in that fight, but he ended up having enough power in that second round where he ended up catching Pettis and putting him out there. So that's the kind of power he has. He could be losing a fight and one punch ends up kind of changing the complexion of the fight. Now, and he also has a very solid win. He's coming off of over Serrano. Serrano is actually a pretty solid fighter, got a little bit of respect. So I think the stock for Benoit has definitely gone up a little bit. And I think people are just unsure what you're getting with Moreno. So both these guys are well-rounded. Both these guys can stand and bang. Both these guys can grapple a little bit as well. I just honestly think that Moreno is just a little bit better than Benoit across the board. So I think it's going to show here. I mean, again, technically speaking, maybe Benoit has a little bit better stand-up game, but if this fight goes to the ground, I think Moreno can get, even if he's on his back, he can scramble out, get a superior position. He's more of a threat offensively, I think, than Benoit is as well. So I think Moreno is probably the better submission threat in this fight. I think he's got, even though both these guys got knockout power, he's also a threat on the feet. He's got potential to even finish this on the feet as well. So if it hits the scorecards, it should be competitive, but I do side with the favorite here. I'm going against the grain. I know the public's coming on Benoit, but I really believe that Moreno's going to get the win here and start off his UFC career with a couple quality wins. And I think, again, fight by fight, he'll get better and better. So we'll see where this guy goes. But I think he's definitely talented. It's not a fluke. I mean, this guy has some skill, and I think he shows it here. So my pick is Moreno to win.
Yeah, for the most part, Ryan Benoit just hasn't impressed me that much in his UFC run. Now, I know he picked up a win in his last fight, but I think that was more the fact that Freddie Serrano spent the whole fight throwing huge one-off crazy shots of spinning back kicks and you name it in that fight, instead of just sticking to a game plan and working wrestling and what doing whatever that would have got him the win, because Benoit didn't do anything that impressive in that fight to get the win. Now, Moreno, on the other hand, I think a lot of people thought that, you know, he's an amazing grappler or something, because he just went in there and took out Luis Smolka and got that guillotine choke and got the quick victory in a huge upset. But it's not his grappling that's actually his strong suit. It's his striking. He was, one of the last picks on this last season of The Ultimate Fighter, but he's had a lot of success already in his UFC career with that huge win over Smolka, and now he's back. And I think, he can definitely hold his own, if not get the better of Ryan Benoit in the stand-up department. He pushes a high pace on the feet. He mixes up his kicks really well. He has a good power in both hands, good technique. I expect that Moreno will get the better of Benoit on the feet, to be honest. And if it does go to the ground, while Benoit does have some decent scrambling ability, I think Moreno can actually get the better of him there as well. So I just see Brandon Moreno as a really talented young fighter with a lot of room for growth. And at just 22 years old, I think that he can go in there and have an extremely bright future in the UFC flyweight division. And I think Ryan Benoit is actually a significantly less dangerous opponent than Luis Smolka was, who Moreno already beat. So while I do think Moreno's victory over Smolka was slightly flukish, I think the fact that he's facing someone way further down in competition level means the UFC is going to pace themselves with them, and this should be an exciting fight, but it should be a fight that Moreno can win. So I'm going to pick Brandon Moreno. Now, moving up to the women's bantamweight division, we have Sarah McMahon, who is 9-3, taking on Alexis Davis, who is 16-6. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I have McMahon minus 180, the comeback on Davis at plus 140. Right now, staying pretty steady. It's McMahon minus 180, and the comeback on Davis is plus 158. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Two reaction on this fight, and a lot of question marks surrounding both ladies right now. Of course, Davis having a child not long ago, having the time off. I mean, she's been out since April of 2015, her last win over Kaufman, actually. And then again, she had a child not long ago. So to me, that's the biggest question mark here, because in my opinion, Alexis Davis is definitely one of the best female bantamweight fighters in the UFC on the roster, because she's such a well-rounded fighter. I mean, she brings it. She's improved throughout her career big time. I mean, you could just tell fight by fight again throughout the whole process of her career against the fighters that she's competed against, the high level competition. She's definitely improved her game. So she's a tough out. And I think with no time off and continuing her momentum with a win over a fighter like Kaufman, I think that she beats McMahon typically in the spot like this, because McMahon, to me, I was expecting better. I almost think that she is kind of a bit on a decline in her career, and she kind of came over to the UFC a little bit too late. I think the best days for her are kind of behind her. I understand that she has finally kind of bounced back nicely with a win over Jessica Eye. That was a well-deserved win. So she got back on track a little bit there. But stylistically, Davis is just a different matchup for her. She's going to probably have to control this fight. On the feet, McMahon's not bad. I mean, she does have a little bit of power. But Davis is definitely the more technical and diverse striker on the feet. And on the ground, McMahon obviously has the wrestling advantage over most in the weight class. And again, against Davis, she will as well. But I think that Davis is going to be tough. Her takedown defense overall is decent. And once on the ground, Davis has some skills. She's got some submission ability as well. So not an easy fight. So for me, it's kind of a head scratcher, because normally, again, I would pick Davis. But with all her time off, I'm just not sure what we're going to see. So I think momentum is a little bit more on McMahon's side right now, because she did get that W over Jess Guy. That's going to give her a confidence booster a little bit, and we'll probably see a decent performance out of McMahon. But this is not a confident pick. Again, I just think stylistically it's kind of a tough fight for McMahon, but I do think she probably wins it. And again, a lot of it's based on we just haven't seen Davis for a while, so I'm not sure how she's going to come into this fight and how she's going to be prepared. So I guess I have to slightly neutralize McMahon, but it's not a confident pick at all.
And I'll disagree on a couple points. I mean, I don't think Sarah McMahon came to the UFC late in her career. She was actually pretty early in her career. It's just more late in her life. She had done so much, in her professional wrestling career, amateur wrestling career, and been to the Olympics, and she didn't start MMA until really late. So, she still, you know, has a lot to learn in her MMA career overall. The wrestling has always been there. She's always been very physically strong. She's always packed a decent punch. But, for the most part, I think her grappling and MMA wrestling have fallen way back and way behind. And, I think Alexis Davis is the type of fighter with a ground game that can potentially tie Sarah McMahon in knots. Alexis Davis, the biggest question for her is how is she going to respond? How is she going to recover after taking so much time off and having a child? We saw that, Dudeva came back from that in her most recent fight, and she started strong, but then, just got smoked in the third round, or got smoked as the fight went on, against Marion Renault. So I think if Davis comes back at full strength, then this is a fighter that didn't just beat Sarah Kaufman. This is a fighter that beat Liz Carmouche, a fighter that dominated Rosie Sexton, a fighter that back in Strikeforce absolutely annihilated the current UFC women's bantamweight champion, Amanda Nunes. And that same Amanda Nunes flattened Sarah McMahon. So, if Alexis Davis can, even if Sarah McMahon gets a takedown, I think this fight going to the ground is going to favor Alexis Davis because her ground game is so good. She has such excellent jiu-jitsu skills. I think she can sweep Sarah McMahon. I think she can, grab her neck, do something, find an opening, take advantage of a mistake McMahon makes. And on the feet, I think Sarah McMahon probably gets outclassed by Alexis Davis. Davis isn't a world beater on the feet, but we've seen that her stand-up and kickboxing is relatively underrated. She has a decent ability to mix it up on the feet, and while McMahon does have the more one-punch power, I think Davis can outpace her and outpoint her on the feet like she did against Liz Carmouche. So, for the most part, I think this is Alexis Davis's fight to lose. The only way I can see Sarah McMahon winning it is either grinding her in the clinch with dirty boxing or getting a takedown and staying on top and stifling her without Davis being able to utilize her jiu-jitsu game. And I just don't see that happening. I think Alexis Davis can pull this off. So Alexis Davis is going to be my pick. Now, moving all the way up to the light heavyweight division, we have Ion Cutelaba, who is 12-2 with one no contest, taking on Jared Cannonier, who is 8-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Cutelaba -190, the comeback on Cannonier +150. Looking for five dimes right now, it is Cutelaba -225, Cannonier +185. So a little bit more faith in Cutelaba after his last performance against Jonathan Wilson. It was definitely impressive. I mean, he ended up losing his debut to Sirkunov and then bouncing back like that. Again, this different stylistic type of matchup. But Cutelaba is a very talented fighter. Young, I believe he's only 22 years old. So another type of fighter that's going to get better and better, fight by fight. So a big upside for him, I think. And on the feet is where he's more impressive. I mean, he's going to get better at obviously, you know, stuffing the takedowns a little bit. He definitely needs to improve that. But, what you see from him and his activity on the feet and again, his diverse striking game. I mean, he definitely puts pressure on, his opponents. He's his ability to counter as well. He definitely has some knockout power to go along with it. So there's a lot to like about Cutelaba on the feet. And again, his overall game as a whole is going to keep on improving. Cannonier, a lot of the same things can be said about him. As well, he's got some big power on the feet. He is dropping the light heavyweight now. So that is definitely good to see because I think he was a smaller heavyweight. He needed to take that drop down because now I think at 205, it opens things up a lot more for him. And this is a big test. I mean, coming in against Cutelaba in the spot, if he gets a win here, then obviously he's going to be on everybody's radar and he's going to get a ton of respect, even though Cutelaba is still not, you know, well known outside of the diehards out there still. This will be a big win if he can get it done. So I think he gets it done if he does by knocking Cutelaba out. I think on the scorecards, Cutelaba basically outpoints him a little bit more. But Cannonier has a little bit more pure knockout power. And even though Cutelaba's, moves on his feet pretty well. He still does get clipped at times, but I mean, so far his chin has held up nicely, obviously. And I think he probably will hold up enough to probably outpoint Cannonier and steal a decision here. So it's all going to be about the game plan of Kudalaba and if Cannonier can do some serious damage when he does land on the feet a little bit. Now, again, both these guys do have a little bit of a ground game. So it's going to be interesting to see how the wrestling kind of works out once they're in the cage here. But again, overall, I just think Kudalaba basically outpoints Cannonier or even possibly finishes him before the fight ends as well. So I'm going to pick Kudalaba to win.
This fight could go a myriad of different directions. Kudalaba looked great in his UFC debut where he pushed a high pace against Misha Cirkunov. Cirkunov just outclassed him a little bit. But then his last performance, I thought he just dominated that fight from start to finish, pushed an extremely high pace, high volume of striking, and his opponent just couldn't keep up. And Jared Cannonier, similar situation. UFC debut, got clipped, didn't work out, came back, looked amazing, and then announced that he was dropping down from the heavyweight to the light heavyweight division, and this is his first fight in the light heavyweight division. So one thing to keep mind of is see how his weight cut goes, how he looks. He was an undersized heavyweight, so I don't think it'll be a nasty weight cut for him, but you never know, so that is something to keep an eye on. But for the most part, this will be a battle of Kutalaba's pace versus Cannonier's power. Now, Jared Cannonier is extremely powerful, has a lot of explosion. I think if he can step forward and really crack Kutalaba, you never know. But Kutalaba has showed an amazing chin so far, so Cannonier is probably going to have to land more than a few really big shots to take Kutalaba out. And that's actually why I'm siding with Kutalaba a little bit here. I think Kutalaba has a little bit of height, even though Cannonier's dropping down to the light heavyweight division. Kutalaba should have the conditioning advantage because, I mean, this guy can seriously throw leather as hard as he can possibly can at an extremely high pace and continue doing it without gassing. So I think Cannonier's best chance to win is to take Kutalaba out in the first round, but if he doesn't, then I think Kutalaba just takes over with his pace and pressure. And I'm just not sure if Cannonier can keep up with that. But there are a lot of question marks because we just don't know how Cannonier is going to look at light heavyweight. I mean, this guy definitely is extremely dangerous and he could be a player in the light heavyweight division. We just don't know yet. But for now, I'm picking Kutalaba because, we've seen him a couple times now at light heavyweight and he's looked pretty good. Now, moving on to the welterweight division, we have Jake Ellenberger, who is 31-11, taking on Jorge Masvidal, who is 30-11. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I'm hoping Masvidal minus 270, the comeback on Ellenberger at plus 190. Right now, looking for five times, it's Masvidal minus 260, Ellenberger is plus 220. So, line's staying fairly steady. I think it'll remain that way. Ellenberger definitely got some respect back with his win over Matt Brown in his last fight. He needed that bad. I believe it was said that, I mean, that was basically his last shot. I mean, the UFC gave him a chance against a guy that he wasn't supposed to beat. I mean, at this point of his career, a lot of people are expecting Brown to actually knock Ellenberger out, and it happened the other way around. So he saved his job literally by winning that fight. And now he's got to have some confidence. And throughout his whole career, Ellenberger has been an outstanding fighter. Let's not forget, he was actually in the mix of a title shot not long ago. I mean, so Ellenberger has the power to do a lot of damage. He's got that knockout ability over most fighters. I mean, a lot of people can't take his punches. And then, of course, he's got an elite wrestling game that he's able to get the fight to the ground as well. So he's got that wrestler's power and that game that he can basically sprawl and brawl and knock you out. But the problem with Ellenberger at times is inactivity. I mean, he sits back and he waits and he doesn't use that explosive power that he has enough, I think. So that's cost him a little bit. And of course, his cardio at times has not been up to par where you'd like to see it. But Ellenberger always shot with that explosive power. And again, he's going to be a confident fighter coming to this fight for sure. But he's facing another savvy vet in Masvidal. I mean, Masvidal, unfortunately for him, he's been on the wrong side of some very close decisions. I mean, he could have won a few of those at least, and his record would be that much better right now. But again, another guy that's been in the sport for a long time that I think has showed great improvement throughout his career. He's always been known as a devastating striker, a technical striker, that outpoints his opponents, that is capable of knocking his opponents out as well on the feet. He has accuracy. He's got power. His wrestling game, I think, in my opinion, has improved quite a bit to the point where, of course, it's hard to get him down, but offensively, he uses his wrestling when he needs to as well. So his fight IQ is even decent. I mean, you look back at the Tim Means fight, for example, that came into play there. So Masvidal, a very intelligent fighter. He knows usually what he's up against. An opponent like Ellenberger, he's going to know that as well. He knows that Ellenberger is an explosive type of fighter. He's going to have to weather that early storm. And then I think as it goes in round two and round three, Masvidal probably gets a finish here over Ellenberger. If it hits a scorecards, I don't think Ellenberger wins on the cards either. I think Masvidal just outpoints him there. So much respect to both guys because they've been around for so long. But my pick for this fight is going to be Masvidal getting the job done here.
Yeah, just like the Kutalaba-Cannoneer fight, this fight probably just goes one of two ways. Either Jake Ellenberger goes out there and blitzes Masvidal like he did in the Matt Brown fight, and he's definitely capable of it. You saw it. And I think Ellenberger is definitely in a better place now than he was a couple years ago when he was training with Edmund and just had no business training with that guy. He is not a good coach, and he just makes people worse. And the second he leaves, look how good he looked again. So, I definitely still think that Ellenberger has something left in the tank. The guy has a ton of power. And if he can connect, then anybody's in big trouble. I mean, just look when at the top of his game, Ellenberger, you know, just massacred Jake Shields. So, the fact that he took out Matt Brown like the way he did, a guy that had, I don't know if he'd ever been finished by strikes, that was incredibly impressive. So, if Jake Ellenberger connects against Jorge Masvidal, he can definitely get a first round knockout. I mean, Masvidal has been dropped before. He's been rocked before. So Ellenberger has the power and the quickness and the explosion to get in there and crack him and take him out. That being said, I think Masvidal is a much more technically sound striker. He has way better conditioning. And while Ellenberger has a really good wrestling game, Masvidal's wrestling is super underrated. So I don't see Ellenberger getting a lot going in the ground game either. So if Ellenberger does not take out Masvidal in the first round, then Masvidal should have a cakewalk here. Masvidal has great counters, great footwork, great pacing, great conditioning. He can go three rounds hard. He has good counters, good jab, he is just a really solid overall, well-rounded fighter, and the only way Ellenberger wins here is that early blitz, and if that doesn't happen, then Masvidal should win. So I gotta side with Masvidal here, and I think he can actually get a finish here as well as Ellenberger starts to slow down as the fight wears on, especially if the blitz fails, that'll sap even more of Ellenberger's conditioning. So I like Masvidal, potentially third round TKO. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the flyweight division, we have the coaches from Tough Season 24 as Joseph Benavidez, who is 24-4, takes on Henry Cejudo, who is 10-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Benavidez, minus 260, the comeback on Cejudo at plus 180. Right now it's Benavidez minus 190, Cejudo plus 165. So people coming in on Cejudo a little bit in his spot. I mean, obviously, with the Olympic background, all the hype around Cejudo throughout his short career. Obviously, he's only had a few fights in the UFC, but, you know, the transition, a lot of people are expecting huge things from Cejudo coming from the wrestling world into, you know, the sport and just dominating. And he's looked good. I mean, he's climbed up to a title shot, obviously, already. Didn't work out so well with him against Demetrius Johnson. He wasn't quite ready for that. But now he's facing the number two guy in the division, arguably the number two guy, a guy that a lot of people thought would beat Demetrius Johnson and Benavidez. So Benavidez, I believe his only two losses in his career have come to, if I'm not mistaken, Dominic Cruz and Demetrius Johnson. So, and of course, a couple times or whatever, but still, I mean, that's pretty significant to say. I mean, because he's that kind of fighter that he's faced a lot of competition, a lot of good competition, and he's won the rest of those fights. So he's fought who's who. So really, I mean, right there with Demetrius Johnson, right below that level, it's fair to say. Now, so is Cejudo ready for that kind of jump? Obviously, against Demetrius Johnson, he wasn't. And the way he matches up here against Benavidez, for me, I've been disappointed in Cejudo's wrestling as far as in the octagon or in the cage. He just hasn't been as a dominant wrestler as we all thought. And I think he's going to struggle against Benavidez, even though Benavidez has been taken down before, obviously, and controlled a little bit. I mean, even if look back at the Tim Elliott fight against Benavidez, Elliott was having his way with him early on in that spot. So you would think Cejudo might have the same type of success. And I'm not sure that's why people are coming in Cejudo a little bit, or they believe that his striking is going to be good enough to maybe threaten Benavidez on the feet as well. I'm just not so sure I agree with either one of those. I think Benavidez is actually by far the better fighter here because I think he can outstrike Cejudo. He's a far ahead of him in that game. I think he's got more pure knockout power on the feet as well. Submissions go to Benavidez as well. And of course, he's got a wrestling game to go along with it. Now, I don't think Benavidez is going to out-wrestle Cejudo, but that being said, I think Benavidez can grab a neck. And once Benavidez has your neck, man, you know, I mean, once he locks up that choke, it's a wrap. You're not going to get out of that sucker. And then again, even on the feet, Benavidez is going to be, I think, the more dangerous striker as well. So I disagree with your reaction. I know, again, I have respect for Cejudo. What he's accomplished as an Olympian is pretty outstanding. Everybody wanted to see him, you know, come over to MMA, and he's accomplished a lot thus far as well. So hats off to him. But I just think he's running into a fighter right now, Benavidez, that he's just not ready for. I think Benavidez is probably going to, if he doesn't get the decision, he probably finishes him as well. So I think it's one of those scenarios that as it goes, Benavidez's power might be a little bit too much on the feet for Cejudo. If not, I think Benavidez obviously does enough damage along the way where he wins a decision as well. So barring a bad judge's decision, I just don't see Cejudo outpointing Benavidez here. So I'm going to pick Benavidez to win this fight.
And I'm in complete agreement. Henry Cejudo is a talented fighter. He has pretty solid overall boxing game and an excellent wrestling game, but as you saw against Demetrius Johnson, it just didn't matter. He wasn't able to keep Johnson down in their fight. And then when they went to the clinch, Johnson just pulverized him with some knees to the body and then just took him out. He just couldn't recover. Joseph Benavidez, I think he is a better overall, well-rounded striker compared to Cejudo. And the wrestling, even though Cejudo has the Olympic gold medal qualifications, I don't think Cejudo's ground game is any better than Benavidez's. Now, Benavidez has been taken down, by, you know, fighters like Tim Elliott in the past. So, I can see Cejudo getting a takedown. I just don't see him keeping him down. Cejudo's top control isn't that amazing, especially at flyweight. It's a little tougher to keep guys down. So, I think this fight's just going to boil down to more of a stand-up brawl, and Benavidez has way more power. I think he has much better technique. And I can just see Benavidez slipping some punches and just really taking it to Henry Cejudo, because Cejudo hasn't really faced a lot of the elite in the division yet. Probably the best guy Cejudo's faced that he's defeated was Jussier Formiga, and he had to, you know, grind it out a little bit against him with a, you know, bit of a stand-up fight when in response, I mean, Benavidez just annihilated Formiga. So I think Benavidez, if he can start really working Cejudo's body over, I expect Cejudo to slow down as this fight wears on. And I think Joseph Benavidez either wins by decision or by potentially a TKO if he can really hammer Cejudo to the body, or maybe just land that one good shot to the head. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening, we have champion Demetrius Johnson, who is 24-2-1, taking on the winner of the Ultimate Fighter Season 24 and new number one title contender, Tim Elliott, who is 10-6-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I've been Johnson minus 900, the comeback on Elliott at plus 500. Right now over five dimes, it's Johnson minus 950, the comeback on Elliott plus 625. Now, there was some early action coming in straight on Johnson as well, so line creeped up a little bit. Now some straight action coming back on Elliott, so line dropped back down and line margins have tightened up a little bit. And there's going to be people throwing both guys in parlays as well. Even Johnson, I mean, it's not going to do much for you there, but people are going to definitely throw him in there thinking he's a sure thing. He's got a tough fight on his hands. I mean, Mighty Mouse is pound for pound the best for a reason. The guy is really, in my opinion, he is the best mixed martial artist on the planet. The guy is so complete. His stand-up game, technical, has power, has finishing ability on the feet, his ground game. He can wrestle, out-wrestle most people on the ground. He can obviously finish on the ground with his submission skill as well. He's got decent takedown defense. I mean, there's cardio. It's just endless what you can say. All the good qualities about Demetrius Johnson. He's amazing. I mean, simply put. And that's why he's wearing the strap. And that's why really nobody's come close to touching him. I mean, he's been cruising through fights. And I think that's why a lot of the popularity or a lot of the pay-per-view sales or what you want to say is not happening for Johnson. A lot of people think, he should get more respect, and he really should get more respect. The guy's he's a fun, entertaining fighter to watch. I love watching a guy fight because of all the skill that you see on display. He's going to have a tough fight here, despite him being such a large favorite over a guy like Elliott. I think Elliott's a pretty tough out. I don't think Elliott should ever have been cut from the UFC roster, to be honest with you, but he did. And unfortunately for him, it just didn't work out at that time. But the good thing about that was after his loss to Makovsky, he went over to Titan and he went on a little roll again. I mean, obviously he won the Ultimate Fighter. That's why he's getting his shot here. But as Titan, he ended up claiming their flyweight title and a couple tough fights there. I mean, they weren't giving him exactly slouches. So Elliott got back on track against solid competition and another organization. Then he got on the show and that tournament was for flyweight. That was a pretty deep tournament. You got to say, of course, can any of them realistically dethrone Johnson? No, probably not. But that being said, there's a lot of quality fighters in that tournament. So Elliott winning it, that is something to be very proud about. And I think he's going to probably be somewhat of a test. He's not going to lay down for Johnson at all. I mean, Elliott's going to come to fight. And I think he will be competitive somewhat. But I just don't see a lot of areas where he can just really strictly outbeat Johnson, outpoint him or maybe get the takedowns. I think possibly – with Elliott, I mean, we saw what he did against Benavidez briefly. He was able to kind of get Benavidez to the ground. So if that's the way he goes about this fight as well, maybe he could get Johnson down briefly. I mean, Johnson has outstanding takedown defense, so that's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tougher than even Benavidez that he did. And unfortunately for Elliott, what he showed in that Makovsky fight that got him cut a little bit, Makovsky ended up out grappling Elliott on the ground. And Johnson, I think, is on another level there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Johnson actually gets top position on Elliott along the way, because he seems to get almost everybody down that he faces. So even in the wrestling part where I think Elliott might have the best chance, I don't think he's going to win here either. I think Johnson out wrestles him. I think Johnson out points him on the feet. Again, that's one of the reasons you're seeing such a big line here. It's a tough matchup. And Johnson, the popularity as far as amongst the bettors, especially, they know what they're getting. I mean, a lot of people think that Johnson is a safe bet, and he has been, so you can't even argue that. But I still think Elliott's going to be game. He's going to come to fight, and I hope he makes it a close competitive fight, because it seems like it's been a while since we've seen Johnson get really, really tested. So Elliott deserves to be here. He deserves to be even getting that title shot, to be honest with you. I realize that, he went the Ultimate Fighter route to get that title shot. But again, in my opinion, he's been one of the best flyweights in the world for a long time. But is he up to par with Johnson? I just don't think he's quite on that level. So my pick is Demetrius Johnson to get the win here.
Yeah, the main problem with Tim Elliott is he is really good. And as Nick mentioned, he probably didn't deserve to get cut from the UFC, but he did have three straight losses. Granted, those three straight losses, Ali Bagotinov, Joseph Benavidez, Zach Makovsky. Two of those guys have already had fights against Demetrius Johnson. So, and then his UFC debut loss, John Dodson, another guy that's fought Demetrius Johnson twice already. So, I mean, I can't blame Tim Elliott for his UFC losses. I mean, all those guys were top guys that he lost to. In his win over Louis Gatineau, I mean, he took him down and he landed 116 strikes from top position in that fight. Just beat the tar out of him. Honestly, though, the problem is I just don't see him getting consistent takedowns. And even if he does get takedowns, I don't see him keeping Demetrius Johnson on the ground. Tim Elliott's game revolves around being unorthodox on the feet. He throws a lot of goofy stuff, some spinning stuff. He'll wing some kicks from distance. He actually, before coming to the UFC, he had an amazing head kick knockout of former lightweight champion Jens Pulver. So the kicks are dangerous. Johnson will definitely have to respect them. But for the most part, throughout his UFC run, throughout his run in Titan, it's been all around – everything's been revolving around his pressure top control game, where he gets repeated takedowns, grinds his opponents out, drops some punches, and then maybe works for a submission or a TKO. And for the most part, it's been really successful, especially in his run outside the UFC and then his run on The Ultimate Fighter. But that being said, Demetrius Johnson is just a whole other animal. Tim Elliott, normally has no problem going to the clinch. If he goes to the clinch against Demetrius Johnson, he is going to get carved up. That Demetrius Johnson in the clinch might be the most dangerous fighter on the planet in regards to one fighter in one specific area. I mean, this guy just throws violent knees, just hellacious elbows, really great dirty boxing. I mean, you saw the Henry Cejudo fight. Cejudo got an early takedown and then clinched with Johnson and then boom, knee to the gut, boom, knee to the liver. And he just folded in half and the fight was pretty much over at that point. So, this takes away a huge part of Elliott's game where he needs to close the distance and try to wear people down, because the second he closes the distance, if he doesn't get an immediate takedown, Johnson is just going to start beating the tar out of him on the inside. The way I can see Elliott winning is long distance head kicks. If he can connect with something solid, we've seen Johnson get hurt in the past by a huge shot from John Dodson, by even John Moraga rocked him at one point. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. Or, if he can get repeated takedowns and stay in top position, then maybe Elliott can do it. But as you saw in his last loss, Elliott actually just got completely out grappled by Zach Mikofsky, which ended up being, his exit from the UFC. So I don't know. I just don't see him getting the takedowns against Johnson. I don't see him landing that miracle head kick. And I think Johnson just styles all over him over the course of five rounds, or eventually potentially finds a finish, although Elliott is incredibly tough, so I can see him gutting this out for five rounds. But my pick has to be Demetrius Johnson, who is, in my opinion, the best fighter on the planet. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for the Ultimate Fighter 24 finale. Our premium bets for the event will be released this Friday following the weigh-in, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of any free bets via our email system if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.